WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5 K298 CO Minneapolis. Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Biden has ordered flags across the country to be flown at half-staff in honor of Senator Dianne Feinstein.
In a White House proclamation, the president said lowering the flags to half-staff is a mark of respect for Feinstein, who died this week at the age of 90. Mr. Biden remembered the late senator as a pioneering American. Feinstein was the longest-serving female senator in U.S. history.
It's White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reporting. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell says Feinstein was a senator who made a big difference during her lifetime.
Dianne was a trailblazer in her beloved home state of California, and our entire nation are better for her dogged advocacy and diligent service.
Senator Dianne Feinstein passed away this week at the age of 90. More on these stories at SRNNews.com.
This week on the Michelle Tafoya podcast.
Data from New Jersey has found that the amount of students considering themselves to be non-binary has skyrocketed over 4,000%. Leftist politicians in the state believe parents should not know. Well, a fever is out of the norm. Getting bullied is out of the norm. Parents should be involved in all of those matters. You're saying this one? Kids in elementary school? Come on.
Stream the Michelle Tafoya podcast at Salem Podcast Network.
Salem Surround partners with your business to deliver custom digital marketing solutions. Surround your target audience wherever they engage, search, surf, socialize, or review to keep your business top of mind. Learn more at minneapolis.salemsurround.com.
The government is spying on you. No surprise, I know. But did you know the banks are helping them? And did you know that withdrawing your cash from the bank can be very risky? That's right. Let Swiss America educate you about this. Banks are now required to spy on us for the government, and they report any behavior they think is suspicious. You'll be shocked when you read The Secret War on Cash from Swiss America. This new war against cash is really a war against the Constitution, against all freedom-loving Americans. You must read The Secret War on Cash. Get your free copy by calling or texting 800-266-6082. That's 800-266-6082. This war on cash is growing daily, and it also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get and read The Secret War on Cash free by calling or texting right now at 800-266-6082. That's 800-266-6082. Message and data rates may apply.
Can your IRA stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is at our doorsteps? By allocating a percentage of your IRA into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from turbulent markets and economic downturns by putting your IRA back on the gold standard. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Call now for your free gold and silver report. Protect your IRA today with one simple phone call and learn how to qualify for up to $10,000 in free silver. Call Genesis Gold Group, empowering faith-driven stewardship. 800-504-1123. 800-504-1123. 800-504-1123. That's 800-504-1123.
Al Momberg here. Sunday morning on the World of Aviation, we'll welcome back Heather Ann Sharp, who should have been dead not once, but twice. We had Heather on the show a few years back to talk about her car accident and an accident she had on their farm in Minnesota. Both resulted in traumatic brain injuries. It's literally a miracle she's still with us. And now she has a new book out entitled Never Dull. I think you're going to enjoy our conversation. Sunday morning at 10:05 on AM 1280, The Patriot.
This radio station is always on, but sometimes you need more content than you can take with you anywhere. That's why we invented the SalemPodcastNetwork.com. You'll find all the great hosts on this radio station, plus a few more like Charlie Kirk, Dinesh D'Souza, Trish Reagan, Jenna Ellis, and Dennis and Julie. There's literally no end to what they can teach you. It's like radio on demand, and just like radio, it's always on. Go find out what you're missing. Download the app, SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Hey, this is Matthew with The Kingdom Builders. Here's who we are. We're people that really like getting to know people. We care about you because God cares about you. We'd be honored if you'd look us up at thekingdombuilders.com.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
Welcome to part two of my interview with Dr. Phil Ovadia, cardiac surgeon. In last week's episode, he gave us such great information about taking care of your health, and this week it's going to get even better. And you mentioned before about that there's a possible increased risk of cancer if you, which people in the statin group, especially in the elderly, in the PROSPER trial. So there was increase in cancer, increase in stroke, but maybe a slight decrease in heart attacks. And, you know, I just I think it's so confusing for the public to really wrap their head around this, because every time you go and get a blood test, if your cholesterol is anywhere near 200, even if you've never had an event, they want to put you on a statin 1-2-3 without doing a calcium score. And we're going to talk about the calcium score going forward. And if you have a comment on anything I just said.
Yeah, you know, the only thing I will point out, for sort of accuracy's sake, is the All-Hat study wasn't actually looking at statins primarily. The All-Hat study was a study of high blood pressure medications and trying to figure out which ones might be better, in terms of prevention of heart disease. But then, like you said, one of the sort of analyses that was done on it bought out this discordant data around cholesterol levels and heart disease outcomes. So just to make that clear, it wasn't actually a trial of statin medications, but many of the other statin medication trials have had similar results, where basically there's no relationship between the degree of cholesterol lowering from the medications and the heart disease outcomes. So that is one of the many things that gives me pause in terms of relying on statins to prevent and treat heart disease.
And we're going to go over Dr. Ovadia's plan as we go forward, but we're just going through some of the background. Now, in the news, there's been a new medication. I don't know how new the medication, but it's been in the news. Nexletol or bempedoic acid, as far as possibly decreasing risk of death from a heart attack. And I wanted to know what you feel about that medication, and is there any traction to it?
Yeah, so we now have a number of medications that have come on the market as sort of alternatives and or add-ons for statin medications. And it's interesting, you know, because again, for 20 plus years, the narrative has been that, you know, statins are the solution to heart disease. And, you know, I think as everyone has become more aware, more aware that statins aren't eliminating heart disease, there are, two scenarios now that have been focused on, two messages that have come largely from the pharmaceutical industry. And one is that maybe statins aren't powerful enough. Maybe we need to lower cholesterol even more. And we can do that either by adding medications or using other medications. So, you know, PCSK9 inhibitors are going to be another class of medications that are more recently introduced, and they lower cholesterol levels even more than statins do. And again, the theory here is that that's what's going to finally allow us to, have a meaningful impact on heart disease. And then there are medications that can be added to statins, or medications that can be used for the many, many people who try to take statins and the side effects are too severe for them to continue taking them. So Nexletol, bempedoic acid, is one of those medications, that has now been, promoted, and the recent trial, showed that it may do better at lowering cholesterol, in people who are intolerant of statins and, or as an additive to a statin to lower people's cholesterol levels even more. Now, what gets interesting is that, you know, these newer medications that are coming online, oftentimes the trials done around them are only done to show that they lower people's cholesterol levels. We've basically stopped testing whether these medications actually prevent heart attack and extend people's lives, because now it's just assumed that as long as the medication is lowering your cholesterol level, it's going to have those effects. And again, I step back and say, that's probably not an assumption that we should be making.
Thank you for clarifying that. I got to ask you about Zetia. You know, that's become real popular now.
Yep.
Vytorin, which was a combination of Zetia and Simvastatin, which is Zocor, that was tried and it showed it failed the trial, if I'm correct, and you correct me on that. But now the doctors are pushing Zetia again with statins, but Vytorin failed. Could you explain that thinking there?
Yeah. So again, Zetia, Zetamide is another medication that has been promoted to, you know, assist statins in lowering cholesterol even more, or for people who are intolerant of statins. And I would say the trial of data around these have been disappointing. The combination pill that you mentioned, combining Zetia with a statin, really showed no significant benefits, and it's still on the market, but really doesn't get used anymore. And we now have, you know, we're 3 decades into this basically, and we're really 5 decades into the focus on cholesterol as the primary cause of heart disease, and ultimately we are not seeing an impact. And you know, again, the societies that push these messages, like the American Heart Association, will say that, well, people aren't following the advice well enough, and they'll blame the patients essentially. But we have the data to show that, you know, on a societal level, our cholesterol levels are lower than they've ever been. You know, one very interesting study that came out, this is just in the past few months, the major lab testing companies worldwide have a sort of cooperative, and they published a study a few months ago looking at cholesterol levels, you know, around the world. And the U.S., it turned out, had one of the lowest levels of cholesterol of any countries, you know, around the world, when we look at this on a society, on a, you know, nationwide level. And yet we have the highest incidence of heart disease. So, you know, again, just another data point that shows us that cholesterol is the wrong focus if we're really, you know, if heart disease is what we're worried about.
Dr. Avedia, thank you for letting me beat that horse for my audience. I want to talk about genetics. Our genetics really haven't changed that much over the last 100 years. So is genetics the cause of heart disease?
No, I think genetics play a very small role in the etiology of heart disease. You know, it's interesting. We look at the fact that heart disease seems to run in families, and we blame that on genetics. But we need to acknowledge that, you know, besides our genes, the other things that get passed down in families are our habits. We tend to eat the same ways, and we tend to have the same, you know, habits. So I would say that those habits are probably a much more powerful factor in heart disease. Now, you know, we did mention earlier a condition called familial hypercholesterolemia, and these are people that do have actual genetic abnormalities that make their cholesterol levels be significantly higher. And these people are at increased risk for heart disease. But like I said, they also have abnormalities in their blood clotting system. And what's real interesting about the familial hypercholesterolemia population is, yes, there is a certain subset of that population that gets early onset, accelerated development of heart disease. They develop heart disease in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. But the people who don't, the people with familial hypercholesterolemia that don't develop early heart disease, and let's say they make it to their 50s without developing heart disease, they actually have a normal lifespan beyond that. And they don't end up developing kind of the more typical late onset, despite the fact that their cholesterol level is over 300 their entire lives, you know, when it goes untreated. So, you know, again, even within that data, we see some interesting conundrums about this theory that it is cholesterol and cholesterol only that is driving heart disease.
We're speaking with Dr. Phil Ovadia, cardiac surgeon. This is Dr. Kerry Gelb for AM 1280, The Patriot on Open Your Eyes Radio.
Healthcare has become impersonal, too complicated, and time-consuming. The Apple Valley Eye Care Team wants to be your family's all-encompassing eye care professional. Our advanced technology and comprehensive eye exams enable the Apple Valley Eye Care Team to detect changes early for the best care. Conveniently located off Cedar and 147th Street, with easy and flexible scheduling, Apple Valley Eye Care wants to be your family's go-to for all things eyes. Search Apple Valley Eye Care and schedule an appointment today.
Does your eye supplement have all three macular carotenoids? Hi, it's Dr. Kerry Gill, host of Open Your Eyes Radio. What sets Macu Health apart from other eye supplements is the inclusion of the third essential carotenoid, mesozeaxanthin. Numerous peer-reviewed studies prove that supplementing with all three macular carotenoids guards the eyes against oxidative stress, free radicals, and harmful blue light more than taking lutein and zeaxanthin alone. Macu Health nourishes and replenishes the macular pigment so patients can maintain a lifetime of retinal health, also protecting against eye disease such as age-related macular degeneration, improves visual performance, and reduces eye strain and fatigue. And for patients with advanced macular degeneration, there's Macu Health Plus, a supplement based on the AREDS2 formula. It also has mesozeaxanthin and a lower, safer level of zinc. To learn more about Macu Health's innovative line of supplements, visit MacuHealth.com. Macu Health. Nutrition you can see.
Urgent Camp Lejeune settlement message. On September 6th, the government announced it will soon begin providing fast, guaranteed settlements to Camp Lejeune Marines, families, and civilians. Awards will range between $100,000 and $550,000, with an option for higher amounts. If you or a loved one spent time at Camp Lejeune and suffered cancers of the bladder, liver, or kidneys, leukemia, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, Parkinson's, or kidney issues, you may qualify for compensation and could be paid within 60 days after accepting your settlement, with your VA benefits fully protected. You may be entitled to a significant financial award for your Camp Lejeune claim, but you must act now. Call the James Harris Law Camp Lejeune helpline now to get the compensation you deserve. We're already fighting for thousands harmed by the water at Camp Lejeune. Call now or you may forever lose your right to be awarded a settlement between $100,000 and $550,000. For your free evaluation, call 800-320-7171. That's 800-320-7171. 800-320-7171.
Does your child wear glasses to see clearly at a distance? Did you know there are special contact lenses they can wear to alleviate this problem and promote their ocular health as they grow older? The team at Apple Valley Eye Care have expertise in myopia management, and they work with top industry leaders. Call the Apple Valley Eye Care team and make an appointment to see how they can help your loved ones now. Apple Valley Eye Care has appointments available, so search Apple Valley Eye Care and call today. That's Apple Valley Eye Care.
We're back with Dr. Phil Ovadia, cardiac surgeon, author of Stay Off My Operating Table. If you want to contact Dr. Ovadia, ovadiahealth.com. Well, there's been new research. In 2016, there was a study that showed 12% of Americans are metabolically healthy. I think there's been a recent study. Now it's down to 10% are metabolically healthy. So let's talk about the real cause of cardiovascular disease, metabolic health. If you could talk about that.
Yeah, great, intro there. And as you said, the statistics around metabolic health are quite scary. And we have recent data now showing that under 10% of the adults in the United States are actually metabolically healthy. And what metabolic health basically means is that your body is properly utilizing the inputs that you are giving it. And that primary input is the food that we are eating. From a practical standpoint, we can look at five basic metrics to determine if people are metabolically healthy or not. And, you know, one of the key takeaways that I hope people get from this podcast is remember these five metrics. And if you don't know them, go figure out what they are. Because they're actually very easy to, to measure. The first is going to be your waist circumference. So not your weight, but your waist circumference. And this is something you can measure at home. You just take a tape measure. You go just above the level of your belly button. Measure it first thing in the morning. And if you're a man, that should be less than 40 inches. And if you're a woman, it should be less than 35 inches. The second measure we're going to look at is your blood pressure. Again, you can measure this at home. Almost every time you go to the physician's office, you're going to get it checked. You can measure it at most grocery stores and pharmacies these days. And your goal is for your blood pressure to be less than 130 over 85. So both of those need to be lower. And that needs to be without the use of medications. If you've been diagnosed with high blood pressure, if you've been started on medication to lower your blood pressure, that is one of the early indicators of poor metabolic health and metabolic dysfunction. And then the other three measures
If I can interrupt you for a second.
Thing.
With waist circumference before we get to the next one. 40 for a man is pretty, that's pretty liberal, 40 inches, isn't it?
Yeah, all of these cutoffs I'm going to, tell people, I think are more generous than they should be. But these are the ones that we have. And just even using these generous cutoffs, we still find that less than 10% of adults can meet these measurements. So I wouldn't say these are optimal numbers, but these are sort of, what are defined as the cutoff for when you have the overt disease present. The other three are going to be coming from basic blood work that you're going to get done. Most physicians check this as part of, a routine exam. And we're going to look at your fasting blood glucose level. And we want that to be less than 100 milligrams per deciliter here in the U.S. units. And then we're going to look at your cholesterol panel. But interestingly, we're not going to look at that LDL cholesterol number that your doctor is so focused on. We're looking at the other two numbers that are on there, your HDL cholesterol, the so-called good cholesterol. And we call HDL cholesterol good cholesterol because it turns out that having a higher number here is better. Again, this can be confusing to people because they've always heard you need to have lower cholesterol. But when it comes to your HDL particles, we want them to be higher. And specifically, if you're a man, you want those to be over 40. If you're a woman, you want them to be over 50. And then we're going to look at your triglycerides. Triglycerides, you do want to be lower, and you want these to be less than 150 milligrams per deciliter. So you look at those five measures and the two largest studies we have that have recently looked at this show that somewhere between 88 to 94% of people in the U.S., adults in the U.S., could not meet all five measures of optimal metabolic health. If three or more of those are outside those healthy ranges that I just mentioned, that is actually diagnoses you with metabolic syndrome, we call it. It's a medical diagnosis, and what it means is that you are at very increased risk of developing things like heart disease, but also things like cancer, Alzheimer's disease. And it turns out that if we go down the list of the top 10 causes of death in the United States every year, 8 out of the 10 of them are attributable to the metabolic syndrome. So when we address metabolic dysfunction, what's so powerful about it is we're not only helping you to prevent and lower your risk of heart disease, we're actually helping you to prevent and lower your risk of most of the chronic diseases that end up killing people.
In my office, I'm an eye doctor, not a cardiologist, but I see a lot of people from India, and they have what we call skinny fat.
Mm-hmm.
They're thin, they kind of have a big belly, no butt. And you talked about this in your book about skinny fat. Can you explain about that as that being a risk factor?
Yeah. So, this so-called skinny fat or, central obesity, as it's oftentimes referred to. And what that is that, the person may not be obese in their arms and in their legs, but they're obese in their abdomens. And this is why waist circumference is a better metric of health than weight is, because you could be, a normal weight essentially, but you're carrying all your obesity in your waist. And specifically what's concerning about that is it's actually the fat on the inside, the fat that's around your organs, what we call visceral fat or visceral adipose tissue, that is most concerning, most damaging when it comes to your metabolic health. Indians, Asians in particular, are prone to this. You know, it turns out that Caucasians, people in the U.S., we get fat on the outside first. So we develop, you know, mostly what we call subcutaneous fat, which is kind of the fat that you can pinch and, you know, it's all around. And in some ways, that's a little bit protective because it's kind of a buffer against metabolic disease. But when that gets excessive, it's going to, you know, ultimately contribute to metabolic disease as well. But the fat on the inside, the fat around our organs, especially in our belly, is what is most concerning when it comes to metabolic health. And that's why this, you know, condition of skinny fat is such a problem.
And I think people don't realize when you have that big belly or you're skinny fat, your body is very inflamed. And inflammation being the core component of chronic disease. And can you talk about the belly being like an endocrine gland and causing inflammation?
Yeah. So it turns out that fat, you know, fat, we think of it, most people think of fat as just a storage place. But fat is actually, like you said, an endocrine organ. It does secrete hormones and cytokines, which are part of that inflammatory pathway. And the visceral fat in particular, you know, secretes cytokines and hormones that end up, you know, having a host of downstream effects that are part of this process of metabolic disease and part of this process of insulin resistance. So, you know, the difficulty around visceral fat has been that we don't have great ways of measuring it. You know, so we use these indirect markers. So when we go back to those metabolic health criteria, it turns out that, you know, if your triglycerides are high and your HDL cholesterol is low, that is a pretty good indirect indicator that you are insulin resistant and you have metabolic dysfunction. Now, when we talk about the blood glucose level, you know, that ends up being sort of a late indicator. But, you know, by the time your blood glucose starts to elevate, that means that you've probably been insulin resistant and in metabolic dysfunction for many, many years. So this is why, you know, these metrics are so predictive of these of our health.
And I think there was a study that showed that 2/3 of people who were having a heart attack had elevated blood sugar and they didn't even know it.
Yeah, it's actually worse than that. So when you actually test for insulin resistance very well, and insulin resistance truly is the first thing that happens, you know, getting an elevated blood sugar is a late finding. But when you test for insulin resistance in people who are coming in with heart disease, and this data comes from Dr. Gerald Reaven, who did really the seminal work in this area in the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, and he showed that up to 95% of people presenting with heart attacks are insulin resistant if you measure it the right way.
So, you know, my understanding is that insulin could be high for up to 20 years before even your blood sugar goes up. And high insulin in the body could cause the same problems as high blood sugar. So are you a proponent of testing fasting insulin or even two-hour insulin?
Yeah, very much so. So like I said, you know, when you really look at the data, it is clear that insulin resistance is the primary root cause of heart disease. And that's what we should be testing for. And so fasting insulin level is a great way to do that. There are some more advanced tests that can be done as well to determine if you are insulin resistant. But if we just started with a fasting insulin level, that would, you know, detect a lot of these problems a lot earlier than what we do today, which is usually wait for people's blood sugars to elevate. And as you said, you know, it can be a decade or two of having elevated insulin levels before we get to the point that our blood sugar level will actually increase. And if we figure that out early, you know, when the insulin is elevated, but the blood sugar hasn't elevated yet, we could have a much greater impact by helping people to reverse that process.
This is Dr. Kerry Gill for Open Your Eyes Radio on AM 1280, The Patriot. Look for our podcast that's released every Monday morning, the Open Your Eyes podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hi, John Wichko, owner of Advantage Auto Glass, your local auto glass specialist. Take the hassle out of windshield repair at replacemywindshield.com. That's replacemywindshield.com.
Chips, nicks, or cracks, call Advantage Auto Glass.
Does your child wear glasses to see clearly at a distance? Did you know there are special contact lenses they can wear to alleviate this problem and promote their ocular health as they grow older? The team at Apple Valley Eye Care have expertise in myopia management, and they work with top industry leaders. Call the Apple Valley Eye Care team and make an appointment to see how they can help your loved ones now. Apple Valley Eye Care has appointments available, so search Apple Valley Eye Care and call today. That's Apple Valley Eye Care.
I went to the eye doctor the other day with my daughter Maggie. I was shocked when the doctor told me that my daughter was already becoming nearsighted. It turns out that this problem affects more than 40% of Americans. My eye doctor thinks this disease is getting worse. Perhaps it's getting worse because of kids' prolonged time spent playing with smartphones, or maybe because kids now spend less time outside. My genetics probably aren't helping her a whole lot being nearsighted myself. But the good news is that the doctor told me about a new FDA-approved product called MySight. This specific one-day contact lens is already worn by thousands of children in the U.S. It is proven to slow down the progression of nearsightedness. And best of all, Maggie loves these contact lenses. The doctor taught her how to use them. Now it is so exciting to see her have even more success in the classroom and when she plays sports. I recommend you visit OpenYourEyesRadio.com to find an eye doctor that specializes in this treatment program. Learn more at OpenYourEyesRadio.com.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Are you about to sign an order for siding, roofing, or windows, but you're worried that the price is too high? Keep them honest by contacting me at getmythreequotes.com, and I'll email competitive quotes your way. That's the number 3, getmythreequotes.com.
Healthcare has become impersonal, too complicated, and time-consuming. The Apple Valley Eye Care team wants to be your family's all-encompassing eye care professional. Our advanced technology and comprehensive eye exams enable the Apple Valley Eye Care team to detect changes early for the best care. Conveniently located off Cedar and 147th Street, with easy and flexible scheduling, Apple Valley Eye Care wants to be your family's go-to for all things eyes. Search Apple Valley Eye Care and schedule an appointment today.
We're back with Dr. Phil Ovadia. This is Dr. Kerry Gell for Open Your Eyes Radio on AM 1280, The Patriot. Don't forget to watch our documentary called Open Your Eyes with Dr. Kerry Gell. It's an 88-minute documentary about and how the eye is related to systemic disease. Now we're back with Dr. Ovadia. You know, we did a paper in 2016 that we published about insulin resistance and the capillaries in the eye. And we found that if they had microaneurysms, either they're fasting, it correlated very well with either fasting insulin or two-hour insulin, even before their blood sugar went up. So this was a way to be able to put them on a program like yours. People go get Dr. Ovadia's book, Stay Off My Operating Table. And we're going to go into the diet in a little bit. But we could actually see these little microaneurysms in the eye. And it's all based on, you know, work that has been done over the years. I remember sitting in a Mark Houston lecture for hours and listening to vascular disease. And that's how we were able to discover it. So I want to move on to tests that people could have to see if they're at risk for cardiovascular disease. I know that you probably could just look at somebody's belly and say, that's enough. You got to get on the stick. You know, you got a big belly, you're at risk. But let's talk about some of the tests that could be done. Let's talk about calcium scores, coronary artery calcium score, that type of heart scan to measure coronary atherosclerosis or plaque to see if people are at risk for a vulnerable plaque that could basically burst and cause a heart attack.
Yeah. So, you know, the coronary artery calcium scan is a simple to do CAT scan. Literally takes 5 minutes. They don't even have to put an IV in you. You just lay down in the CAT scanner, have the scan done. Most places here in the U.S., it will cost you between $100 and maybe $200 at the most. And I've actually seen it as cheap as like $50. It's not covered by insurance, unfortunately, in most circumstances. But, you know, the out of pocket self-pay prices are usually pretty reasonable. And what it shows us is the early stages of heart disease. So, you know, to go back in the conversation, like we said, for most people, their first indication that they have heart disease is when they have a heart attack or they start to develop symptoms. And that means that this process has already progressed pretty far. So, you know, similar to the push for women to get mammograms and for all people to get colonoscopies, the point is, if we discover these problems early, we have a better chance of avoiding, you know, death from them and you know, bad outcomes, disability from them. And the coronary artery calcium scan is really the equivalent of the mammogram for breast cancer. It can show us the early stages of heart disease. And we know that if you get this scan and you have no calcium in your arteries, your chances of developing heart disease over the next 5 to 10 years are very low. And, you know, the older you are, if you get a zero score, you know, the less those chances are. So I think that the coronary artery calcium scan should be used much more than it is. I really advocate for anyone over 40 to get this scan. And in some cases, it might make sense to get it in your 30s or even in your 20s if there's something that makes you think you're at higher risk of heart disease. And understand, you know, this score, getting a zero score, meaning you have no calcium in your arteries, the chances of doing so are much higher when you're younger, but it becomes much more predictive the older you are. But, you know, start early, get a baseline scan when you're 40 or maybe earlier in some situations. And then it's something to be followed over time. These scans today are done with very low radiation doses. They're on the order of a chest x-ray in terms of the amount of radiation that you're going to get. So, you know, you can repeat the scan in 5 years or 10 years if it shows that you have a zero score. If it shows that you don't have a zero score, one, it should prompt you to be working with a physician to really understand what you can do to now slow the progression of your heart disease. And two, you should be following it more intensively. And so there are some patients that, you know, I'll get another scan a year later if we're really concerned about progression. But it is a very powerful test. It can diagnose heart disease at much earlier stages than we typically do today. And I think that in and of itself can have a major impact on, you know, outcomes from heart disease.
Now, the calcium is about 20% of the total atherosclerotic plaque. So that means there's 80% other material that's in there. And the bigger the number, that means the greater risk of having plaque rupture. So my question is this, is the calcium that's there, is that protective for that part of the atherosclerotic plaque once the calcium is there?
Yeah, so this is actually a controversial subject and really not clear. The theory has always been that, you know, the calcium, like you said, stabilizes that plaque. One of the things that can lead to heart attacks is there are two pathways that we can think of to heart attacks, I guess is how I'll say it. You know, we can have a gradual buildup of this atherosclerotic material in the heart, and it gets to a point where it is now critically narrowing a blood vessel. and cutting off the blood supply. Or we can have some plaque that builds up, and all of a sudden, what we call a plaque rupture, that plaque basically separates from the blood vessel wall, causes a blood clot essentially to form around it, and blocks off that blood vessel, leading to a heart attack. Now, the theory around calcification in these plaques is that once calcium is deposited in these plaques, that stabilizes it. That will then prevent it from having this plaque rupture. But it's not entirely clear that that's true. And what we do know is the higher your calcium score is, the more calcium that you have in the blood vessels of your heart, the higher your risk of having a heart attack is. So I wouldn't, I wouldn't necessarily bank on the fact that if you have calcified plaque, you're going to be safe from cardiac events. And, you know, you are right that, you know, the calcium score doesn't give us the whole picture. It doesn't show us all of the plaque. And that's why I refer to the calcium score as a screening test. And in other words, if you have a zero calcium score, we can be pretty well assured that you're at very low risk of heart disease. It's not zero, but it's pretty low. If you have a lot of calcium, we can assume that you're going to have a lot of non-calcified plaque with that. And those are the people that we need to be, you know, pretty concerned about, that you may be at very high risk of it developing heart disease. And maybe you need the more invasive testing then, like a catheterization or a CT angiogram. But at least the calcium score can be an early screening test to give you an indication as to whether or not you're at risk for heart disease.
And my understanding is that the score increases about 25% a year. And that if you go on a statin and you eat a low-fat diet and you exercise and take aspirin, it still goes up 25% a year. So can you comment on that?
Yeah, so there's actually some data that suggests that statins might accelerate the calcification process. And this is really where this theory about plaque stabilization came from, because there was this sort of concerning finding when you look at statins and coronary artery calcium scans. And over time, people that are on statins tend to increase their coronary artery calcium scan more. And all of a sudden, we came up with this theory that that's a good thing because it's stabilizing these plaques. And like I said, that hypothesis has yet to be proven, I would say. One of the things we do know, the flip side of this, is that if your calcium score doesn't progress as expected, which is about 20 to 25% per year, we know that that puts you at a lower, puts you into a lower risk category. So this is another reason that I advocate for not only getting one scan, but then following it over time, because when we're doing things like, changing to, for instance, a low-carb diet instead of a low-fat diet, which I would advocate does a better job of preventing heart disease, one of the measures that we can use to tell if we're, you know, these interventions are working is by the slowing of the progression of coronary artery calcification, something that I've now seen in many of my patients.
And now let's talk about some of the things that can decrease the calcium score from going up and maybe even reverse it. I saw some data on vitamin D, if you can get vitamin D between 60 and 80. And I was wondering what you thought about vitamin D and berberine and omega-3s that maybe don't reverse it but stabilize it. Do you have a feeling on any of that? I know you're not a big supplement person, but yeah. What do you think about that?
So, you know, it turns out that vitamin D, calcium, and then another vitamin, vitamin K2, have a very important interrelationship in our bodies. And basically what you can think of is that vitamin K2 and vitamin D help to keep the calcium where we want it in our bodies, which is mostly in our bones. That's the main place that we want calcium to be in our bodies. That's where it has the most utility. And when vitamin D levels are low, and vitamin K2 levels are low, that calcium is likely to get pulled out of the bone and then can go and deposit in places like blood vessel walls that we don't necessarily want calcium. So vitamin D, vitamin K2, I think are very important parts of this process. And vitamin D, it turns out, is largely a marker of our metabolic health.
We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Phil Ovadia, cardiac surgeon.
Healthcare has become impersonal, too complicated, and time-consuming. The Apple Valley Eye Care Team wants to be your family's all-encompassing eye care professional. Our advanced technology and comprehensive eye exams enable the Apple Valley Eye Care Team to detect changes early for the best care. Conveniently located off Cedar and 147th Street, with easy and flexible scheduling, Apple Valley Eye Care wants to be your family's go-to for all things eyes. Search Apple Valley Eye Care and schedule an appointment today.
Does your eye supplement have all three macular carotenoids? Hi, it's Dr. Kerry Gill, host of Open Your Eyes Radio. What sets Macu Health apart from other eye supplements is the inclusion of the third essential carotenoid, mesozeaxanthin. Numerous peer-reviewed studies prove that supplementing with all three macular carotenoids guards the eyes against oxidative stress, free radicals, and harmful blue light more than taking lutein and zeaxanthin alone. Macu Health nourishes and replenishes the macular pigment so patients can maintain a lifetime of retinal health, also protecting against eye disease such as age-related macular degeneration, improves visual performance, and reduces eye strain and fatigue. And for patients with advanced macular degeneration, there's Macu Health Plus, a supplement based on the ARADS 2 formula. It also has mesozeaxanthin and a lower, safer level of zinc. To learn more about Macu Health's innovative line of supplements, visit MacuHealth.com. Macu Health. Nutrition you can see.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you are making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt, that's what you do. It's not your fault. It's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-298-9093. 800-298-9093. 800-298-9093. That's 800-298-9093.
Does your child wear glasses to see clearly at a distance? Did you know there are special contact lenses they can wear to alleviate this problem and promote their ocular health as they grow older? The team at Apple Valley Eye Care have expertise in myopia management, and they work with top industry leaders. Call the Apple Valley Eye Care team and make an appointment to see how they can help your loved ones now. Apple Valley Eye Care has appointments available, so search Apple Valley Eye Care and call today. That's Apple Valley Eye Care.
We're back with Dr. Phil Ovadia, and in this segment, we're going to give you solutions on how to prevent cardiovascular disease and the cause of it. I never recommend vitamin D3 without also taking vitamin K2 with
right.
it. Is that something you would agree with?
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. You know, so when I talk to people about vitamin D supplementation, two things to point out. First of all, it should be vitamin D3, not vitamin D2, which is in a lot of the, less expensive, less well-made vitamin D supplements, because our body really can't use vitamin D2. And then, as you said, it should always be vitamin D3 with K2, because K2 is going to be that other part that can help prevent the calcium from ending up in our bones, from ending up in our blood vessels rather than our bones where we want it. And if you take the vitamin D without the K2, you may end up in a situation where, again, that calcium is getting pulled out of your bones and deposited in your blood vessels.
There's a medication that I've learned about recently, cyclodextrin.
that they choose to treat Niemann-Pick disease, and which is an inherited disease, Niemann-Pick, I'm sure you know, which where people can't process fats and they can't metabolize fats or cholesterol. And I was wondering if you heard anything about the cyclodextrin, and they're selling it over the counter, I think, in Australia to reverse plaque in the blood vessels. And I was wondering if you knew anything about that or you could share anything about that.
No, actually, that's not one that I'm particularly familiar with. You know, Niemann-Pick disease, as you mentioned, is a very interesting kind of model to look at as to these effects on, you know, fat metabolism and fat utilization and what the sort of outcomes are that, you know, outcomes of that are. But I haven't really come across cyclodextrins as of yet. Something I will always look into and continue on the always learning pathway.
Well, there's a supplement or medication called Remcol that's made with cyclodextrin, which is a ring of actual sugars that go and pick out some of the cholesterol, but they seem to reverse the calcium score. And you know, I'd love to get back to you on that when you analyze it. How about licorice root? Have you heard anything about licorice root glycyrrhizer for stabilizing plaque?
Yeah, so licorice root is something that, you know, I've seen talked about. And, you know, again, what licorice root and many of these other supplements seem to do is assist with this insulin resistance and metabolic disease process. And so ultimately, I think anything that improves insulin resistance is going to help slow the progression of coronary disease and potentially even, you know, lead to reversals of coronary disease, which, you know, I have seen in some situations. But, you know, insulin resistance is really, I think, what needs to be the focus of anyone who has coronary disease and anyone who doesn't have it and is trying to prevent it. And so anything that is going to help us improve insulin resistance, and there are a few supplements that certainly do this, things like berberine and maybe cinnamon and some other, you know, things. Other supplements that are going to be, that may be helpful with this is, are the ones that are going to lower inflammation, things like, you know, curcumin and turmeric. But ultimately, supplements like medications, if they're being taken to sort of undo the side effects of the food that we are eating and the lifestyle choices that we are making are not going to be as effective as if we address these primary causes of insulin resistance, which are the food that we eat and the lifestyle habits that we maintain.
I want to ask you about the EndoPad for endothelial dysfunction. I know some of the functional medicine people are using that for a diagnosis. And do you have a feeling about that?
Well, so endothelial dysfunction is certainly a key part in this process. And it's the damage to the endothelium of the blood vessels that really is that first step that ultimately leads to plaque formation and atherosclerosis. So I think, you know, a focus on the endothelium is very important. I don't think we yet fully understand what that involves. So, you know, again, I go back to something like insulin resistance. And one of the many downstream effects that we've seen of insulin resistance is damage to the endothelium and dysfunction of the endothelium. You know, it's targeting the endothelium specifically, I would say, is something that we're still trying to figure out. Diagnosing the endothelial dysfunction, again, is something that we are trying to figure out. But it certainly seems to be a very important part of the process that then leads to heart disease.
And before you talked about a damage to the cholesterol particles because of insulin resistance, and we talked about five things that people should check for. So let's talk about the NMR test and particle size, particle number, and when the LDL particles become, you get a lot of particle, a high amount of particle, very small particle size and particle number from eating a lot of grains or sugar, those seem to hang around longer in the body, and they could wind up in the gap junctions in the endothelium of the blood vessels and become inflamed and maybe lead to plaque rupture. And I wanted to know what you're feeling about doing that type of test, an NMR, to look at particle size and particle number.
Yeah, so NMR is in a way, is an advanced test of your lipids, of your cholesterol particles. And it probably, you know, is not going to be in the standard testing that you get from your, you know, primary care physician. And even many cardiologists don't do this type of testing. So what the NMR test basically does is, you know, as we mentioned, LDL, HDL, these are lipoproteins that carry cholesterol through the bloodstream. And it turns out that these are basically families of particles. So, you know, within LDL, within HDL, there are then distributions based on the size of the particles. And this information becomes very important because what we know is that the small particles, this we call them small, dense LDL particles, these are the ones that participate in plaque formation. And it turns out that LDL particles that are large, large buoyant or large fluffy particles, we'll call them, don't participate in this plaque formation. So, you know, when you get the standard cholesterol panel from your doctor and it reports your LDL, all it's reporting is the total amount, the total mass of LDL that you have in your bloodstream. But it's not telling us, you know, is that all in large fluffy particles or is that all in small dense particles? And knowing that differentiation gives us a lot more information. And I would put forth that if you have a lot of large fluffy particles, yes, your LDL cholesterol level is going to be higher, but that is probably not a concerning situation and is not going to be a situation that's going to be promoting heart disease, atherosclerosis formation. On the flip side, and this is a situation that I now see commonly, you might have a low amount of LDL cholesterol, maybe because you're on a medication like a statin, but all of the LDL cholesterol that you have are these small, dense particles. And that, I think, is a very concerning situation. And that is why I think we see so many people who are on statin medications with low levels of LDL cholesterol still developing heart disease and still seeing worsening of the heart disease that they have.
Dr. Phil Ovadia, you've been wonderful. You've been so generous with your time. I want to thank you. If people want to buy your book, they want to find out more about you, they want to watch your podcast, they want to be part of your membership, tell us how we could do that.
Yeah, so the best place to find me is at iFixHearts. So you can go to iFixHearts.com, which is the website, find out about, you can get the book there. The book is also widely available on Amazon, over on social media, on Twitter, at iFixHearts is where I'm most active. You can also just look me up on Instagram.
Dr. Ovadia, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time. You're really a great humanitarian. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for everything you're doing, Kerry.
I want to thank Dr. Phil Ovadia for joining me today. He's really something. He is a wealth of information. His goal is to help prevent people from having cardiovascular disease. Visit him at OvadiaHeartHealth.com and make sure you get his book, Stay Off My Operating Table. This is Dr. Kerry Gill for Open Your Eyes Radio on AM 1280 The Patriot. We'll see you next week.
I was 9 weeks along and didn't know what else to do.
I felt helpless, and I didn't want to leave it up to her, but I didn't know what to do or say.
I didn't know there were other options available.
I didn't know it was a baby with a beating heart. at 18 days.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people. So often we get calls just like this from men and women seeking help and alternatives. Our 800 hotline connects callers to the services they need for pregnancy, adoption, as well as post-abortion assistance. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of confidential counseling or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please call 1-800-366-7773 or check us out on the web, prolifeacrossamerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is educational, non-political, and tax-deductible.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the
AM 1280, The Patriot is...